inside and outside like the air. Thus, it is he only who awards all welfare to the worshipper. Support, ladies, divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. It is even sometimes seen that demigods like Indra and Chandra are worshipped and offered sacrificial awards. Yet, the rewards of all such sacrifices are awarded to the worshipper by the Supreme Lord, and it is the Lord only who can offer all welfare to the worshipper. The demigods, although worshipped, cannot do anything without the sanction of the Lord, because the Lord is the supersoul of everyone, both moving and non-moving. In Bhagavad Gita 9.23, the Lord himself confirms this in the following shloka. Yeti anya devata bhakta yajanti sarayanvita tepi mam eva kaunteya yajantya viripurvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. The fact is that the Supreme Lord is one without a second. There is no god other than the Lord himself. Thus the Supreme Lord is eternally transcendental to the material creation. But there are many who worship the demigods like the sun, the moon, and Indra, who are only material representatives of the Supreme Lord. These demigods are indirect, qualitative representations of the Supreme Lord. A learned scholar or devotee, however, knows who is who. Therefore he directly worships the Supreme Lord and is not diverted by the material qualitative representations. Those who are not so learned worship the qualitative material representations, but their worship is unceremonious because it is irregular.
The nature of real inquiry is to try to understand what is the absolute truth. Under the heading of education and research and scholarly endeavor, there is so much activity going on, but hardly any of it comes to the conclusion of the absolute truth. So many universities, so many schools, so many research institutions, but all of them are simply exploring the material creation. None of them have the capability of penetrating into the highest understanding of the truth, because the highest understanding of the truth is beyond the range of sense perception. Atahasi Krishna Namadi Navavet Krayam Indrahi Sevan Mukihi Jivado Svayameva Prasprati Adaha. One cannot perceive the absolute truth with his blunt material senses. These senses, covered by lust, are not able to penetrate into that thing which is beyond the modes of nature. Kama Asia Guna Asia Rajaguna Samudbhavaha. This lust and anger is the result of the modes of passion. And someone who's caught in the modes of passion, or in the modes of ignorance, or even in the mode of goodness, he cannot approach the absolute truth. This absolute truth is covered. Naham prakasha sarvasa yogamaya samavrita mudo yama vijanati. It's not possible for the mudhas, the foolish persons, the persons who are engaged or engrossed in this bodily conception of life, mudha. Just like we saw the runners yesterday, a whole herd of stampeding mudhas, asses, hundreds of them running. But these persons who are engrossed in the bodily conception of life, overcome by ignorance and passion, how can they possibly understand? Krishna says, I remain covered. They shall not understand me because I cover myself by this curtain or covering of Maya. To understand the absolute truth, one has to cross beyond the influence of the modes of nature. But we see that people are not able to do that very easily, and therefore they take up different forms of worship. For the gross materialists, there are different types of persons. Krishna counts them as four. Samam duskritina mudha, papadyante naradama, maya priti gana, ashuram bhavam ashuta. He lists four different types of duskritina, persons who are unmeritorious, impious, the mudhas, or the foolish asses, who work hard and labor like anything, no conception at all except where will I get my food from, where will I get some sex from, where will I sleep at night. This is their only conception. You can see some of them laboring like anything. That's their only business. These mudhas. Then Naradama, the lowest of mankind, hardly better than the mudha, simply thinking a little bit beyond some family conception, some sentiment for society, but again, deeply engrossed in materialistic activities. The Mayapritaganis, the so-called scholarly class who thinks that they're very intelligent, perhaps they're accustomed to the mode of goodness, even philosophers, poets, but they're big brains and their extensive mental gymnastics simply cause them to become more and more confused. No understanding whatsoever. Even they may read, even they may make PhD in Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and they don't know what is the goal of the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita. Maya Pritigyani, their knowledge is stolen by illusion. Ashuram Bhava Mashita, the Ashuras, the big demons who are adamantly opposed to God and to his devotees. So none of these persons can understand. And each one of these persons, because they can understand God, still they take up worship, but they worship something else. Because worship is there. Everyone is engaged in worshiping or glorifying something or someone. The worst of all, at least they'll glorify their own bodies. People all day long, you see in the morning they get up, they bathe their body, then they go in front of a mirror, they adjust themselves, comb their hair, then they put on nice clothing, jewelry, perfume. This is their deity. A deity made of stool, pus, bones, marrow, and blood. And every day, how can you make these things smell nice? This is illusion. It is a big illusion to think that these foul things can actually appear nice or smell nice. But this is the worshipful form of the deity that most people have. Their own material body. Or they pick some other big personality, a bigger animal, a bigger, more powerful body to worship. Just like people used to worship Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, or Napoleon, Alexander. All throughout the ages, some human being is being worshipped because he possesses more of the qualities which people hold to be very dear. Okay. But what are those qualities? Those qualities are seen in the chapters of the divine and the demoniac. These are not necessarily the qualities of the divine. We see what is worshipful, what is the quality of the Lord, Krishna. who is known as Bhagavan. We see the real worshipful Lord. He's full of beauty, full of knowledge. And knowledge doesn't mean simply how to manipulate material energy. Knowledge means how to get free from the manipulation of material energy. Knowledge means how to distinguish matter from spirit, so I know what to use the material energy for, the service of the Supreme Spirit. And that knowledge is perfectly given by Krishna, who's known as Vedesya Sarvera Hameva Vedyo Vedantakrit Veda Vedevacha. Krishna is the compiler of all knowledge. He's the goal of all knowledge. This is Bhagavan, full of such knowledge, full of beauty, full of strength. Krishna says, Matta Partanam Nanyat Kinchirasti Dananjaya Mayi Sarvamidam Protram Sutve Manaikana Iva. Everything is resting on Krishna. Everything is resting. Therefore, he's the most powerful. Just like sometimes there's question Prabhupada raised, who is more powerful, Krishna or Balaram? Because Balaram means bala, strength. But which one is more powerful? So everybody answered that Balaram is the more powerful. And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is more powerful, because even if Balaram has to rest his arm on Krishna. So who can be more powerful than Krishna, around whom everything is strung like pearls on a thread? Everything is depending upon the Lord. Even Balaram owes his origin, that he's the original expansion of Krishna. He's full of strength and renunciation. People renounce their car for a new car. They renounce one house for another house. They renounce one woman for another woman. This is known as renunciation. Renunciation has become so meaningless in the present day and age. Today, I've given up, eating in this way, but then you'll eat in another way. No one understands that renunciation means to completely free oneself from all types of sense gratification. Nowadays, people are very proud. Yes, I have reduced to only one pack of cigarettes. This is renounced. And when someone actually is presented as renounced, just like the devotees, then these people are completely failures. They're called failures. In material civilization, someone who gives up gives up trying to acquire and lord it over the material energy, he's considered a failure. But who is not a failure? Where is there anyone who has ever succeeded in conquering over Maya? It is not possible. It's like fighting with quicksand. You step into quicksand and you begin to struggle, and all you do is succeed in bringing yourself down faster. But Maya cannot be defeated. Very difficult to overcome. You may think you're overcoming this whole lifetime, you see, but then at the end of life, everything is taken away. So how have you defeated Maya? The biggest man in existence, very powerful, and a little soot goes in his eye and immediately he starts crying. A little cavity and he starts howling to the dentist. What is the power of anybody in this world? And what is the ability to conquer Maya? It is not possible. Yes, we are failures. Intelligence means to admit it is impossible to fight against this Maya. Unless you take shelter of the master of Maya. Mameva ye prapadyanti mayamitam tanantite. One who takes shelter of Krishna, then Maya, she offers her obeisances. Maya cannot stand before Krishna. Just like darkness cannot last when the sun comes up. When the sun comes up, the fog is burned away and dispelled. We were reading that the other night. In the same way, when the sun of Krishna consciousness comes up, all ignorance will be dispelled. All illusion will go away. So, this is the worshipful form of the Lord. Most renounced. Krishna is so renounced. He exhibited his supreme renunciation. And Srila Prabhupada exhibited his. Prabhupada said that Krishna gave him the decision. Should I remain or shall I go? And how Prabhupada left us. So many loving disciples. Where is there a person who has 100 palatial buildings throughout the world, and each building with not less than 50 to 100 completely sold out servants who will fulfill every one of your desires? Fame all over the world as the greatest Vedic scholar. Such a position, who could occupy? And Prabhupada left it without one trace of attachment. Only if someone has got Krishna can they feel detached in such a position. And we have to learn this detachment in order for Krishna to award us with the facilities needed to spread this movement successfully. If one is not detached, then as soon as the facility is there, he'll think, how can I utilize this facility for my own personal selfish enjoyment? Krishna shall not give these facilities to one who's so attached. For that person, he'll be allowed to keep his material facilities. But spiritual facilities, disciples, properties, books, these things are given in profuse quantity to those who remain renounced. Renounced from sense gratification. What is the real platform of renunciation? It is to develop that higher taste. The real platform of renunciation is the platform of real attachment. That rati, that taste or attachment, that supreme or higher taste, is the attachment to the orders of the spiritual master and the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. That taste is far more pleasurable, and that attachment is far more enduring. The guru is not like any other master in this world. The other masters that we have been serving lifetime after lifetime have only taken advantage unfairly of us. The family members, the society in general. You can see by our own experience how they are selfishly trying to take advantage of us. But the spiritual master is not like that. The spiritual master has sacrificed everything to see how his disciples can advance in spiritual life. He sacrifices his own comfort. Just like Srila Prabhupada. He sacrificed at the age of 70, leaving the place where everyone who's a devotee wants to reside at the end of his life. He sacrificed that place. He could have stayed there. He was very happy living in the home of Radha Damodar, the home of the six Goswamis, where they would all come together. What more sanctified place in the three worlds could there be? And he left that. His health could not have been so strong, because on the ship he had two heart attacks. So he was willing to undergo all difficulties simply to offer this opportunity to others. A little slowly. Offer this opportunity to others to take up Krishna consciousness. So this should give us the indication of what we have to do. As Prabhupada was given the facility, as Prabhupada was given the empowerment by Krishna, it is Krishna's power that Prabhupada had. It is not something of his own, it's Krishna's. He was given the full right to distribute Krishna's mercy because he was willing to sacrifice. Therefore, one who is too much attached to family and comforts of home, he will not be given that power by Krishna. Neither we should be too attached to the comforts of easy living in a temple. The devotee should be willing to go out and take all risk and undergo all difficulties, and that person shall be awarded with full power of God. Just like Jesus, he was traveling, and see what movement he started. And Prabhupada also, his renunciation was the greatest. To go at 70 years of age, at the fag end of one's life, to a foreign place where one had never gone without one penny and one friend, and see what the result is. So imagine if we will take up a little. It is not possible for us to imitate that. We cannot equal Prabhupada's courage, because that situation doesn't exist for us. We're young men. We're not an old person. We're young men with young bodies. And we already know of the whole world. Prabhupada never traveled outside. We have our centers established now all over the world. But in some small way, let us take up that mood of Prabhupada. Let us take up that spirit that I will go fearlessly and carry the message of Krishna and my spiritual master in my heart. And wherever I go, I'm convinced that I can deliver Krishna consciousness to someone. Krishna will never leave you. Krishna will never fail that person who does this. So, Krishna and the devotee indicate their full renunciation. This is Krishna, Bhagavan, who should be worshipped. The materialists will never understand, because they appreciate foul qualities. They don't know what the criterion for beauty is. To them, beauty means some woman, some bag of stool and pus and mucus. This is their beauty, material beauty. Shankaracharya says, don't become bewildered by this beauty with two fleshy bags hanging from the chest. Don't become so bewildered by that beauty. We always tell the story that we were in the fairs and we watched these two people, this man and his girlfriend, on a Ferris wheel, and they were embracing each other, and suddenly the girl vomited all over the man. And he was so foolish that he wiped off all the vomit and then went in embracing her. He couldn't understand the thing he's embracing has produced this vile, smelly substance. But we're embracing the lotus feet of the deity, which is the most nectarian thing, the most wonderful flavor of all. The gopis were able to relish the flavor of Krishna's lotus feet. The gopis are the greatest admirers, the greatest personalities, the greatest appreciators of beauty. They are themselves the most beautiful of all. No one can surpass the beauty of the gopis. Even the heavenly damsels and the heavenly planets, their beauty magnified hundreds of thousands of times cannot approach the beauty of the gopis. And then what to speak of the most beautiful woman on this planet, who cannot even begin to compare with the beauty of the heavenly damsels. And these most attractive, beautiful personalities in the entire creation, they are completely enamored by the beauty of Madan Mohan, the attractor. Krishna attracts even Cupid, whose arrows are able to succumb everyone. Krishna is attracting thousands and millions of Cupids. This is our worshipful deity. This is God. But unless one is in the right mood, he cannot appreciate the qualities of God. Therefore, Kali, the personality of Kali, was told, you stay away from such sacrificial places where God is being worshipped. You stay away with your meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. Therefore, we have to keep these qualities away from us, away from our temple and away from our heart, which is the temple within the body. For one who is engaged in these illicit activities, God cannot remain. In order for you to arrange nicely for the deity worship, everything has to be made very clean and pure. When we perform our yajna and invite the deity to come, the first business is cleansing. Similarly, if you want the deity to appear within your heart, Cheto Darpana Manjanam, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, the first thing is to cleanse the heart by the performance of Harinam Sankirtan. This is the sacrifice in this age. Krishna Varna Trisha Krishna Sango Pangashta Parshadam Yajnai Sankirtana Prayari Yajanti Hi Sumedasha. This is the sacrifice. By performance of sacrifice, by worship of the Lord, who is accompanied by his associates, this is the method of sacrifice in this Kali Yuga. In this age of Kali, it's an ocean of faults, but there's one great benefit, that simply by chanting the glories of the Lord, all that has been accomplished in previous ages will be accomplished by this simple process of Sankirtan. For Kali Yuga and the personality of Kali, they cannot come where Sankirtan is performed. This is the light which drives away the darkness of Kali Yuga. Therefore, we're giving so much stress to Sankirtan. Because this performance of book distribution, which is the biggest kirtan, Brihat Mridanga, our Mridanga in the temple is confined within the four walls of this building. But our Brihat Mridanga, the big Mridanga, beating the Mridanga of the printing press and the distribution of transcendental literatures, this goes all over the world. Prabhupada said, they think that this old fool is dead. He said, but they do not know that I am sitting in my room and I am still beating on the Mridanga, because he was translating his books even to the last days. He said, they think this old fool has died. He says, but they do not know that he is still beating on his Mridanga and the sound is going all over the world. So we have to continue that sound as long as we distribute these transcendental books. Srila Prabhupada is still present. He's present in the Sankirtan movement, just as Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present within the Sankirtan movement. When one carries out the orders of his spiritual master is never lost to him. When one fulfills the instructions and remembers the instructions of Krishna, Krishna immediately becomes present. Krishna says that he is the benefactor. Bhaktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. He is the benefactor or the enjoyer of all sacrificial offerings. Sometimes foolish people, they worship a different demigod for some kind of material benefits. Here we explain how people are worshiping human beings. They worship either the body or a bigger body, and sometimes they'll worship a still better body, the demigod. But the demigod cannot award ultimately the supreme benediction, and even any material benediction they award is ultimately awarded by God. What is there in existence that does not come by the grace of God? The water that you drink, that waters the ground, that grows the grains, is coming by the grace of God through the performance of yajna. the sunshine, all of these things are creations of God. Any benediction which any demigod gives can only be given with the help of God, Krishna. So it's offered without proper understanding. People do not know this. They take up the worship of a demigod, but they don't understand that those demigods are worshipping Krishna, Govinda. Lord Brahma is saying, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Shiva is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord. He's Param Vaishnava. But foolish people, less intelligent people, don't understand who the master of Lord Shiva and the master of Lord Brahma is, Krishna. It's like a man living in a little village. They use that example. He thinks that the police constable of the village is the all-in-all. But one day, so he was serving, and one day he thought, I'll serve him. And when he was serving him, he saw that one day the police constable went to the big city. And there he offered his respects to the chief of police. He thought, oh, there's someone bigger than my... The finder says, are you finished? Now hear from me, Kachnu. And right away begins, right away, you're not your body. Your first problem, Arjuna, is that you're in a bodily conception. This is our first problem, that we're in bodily conception. That we are thinking we're this body, and we're trying to enjoy like anything. It is so hard to overcome this propensity for enjoyment, gross or subtle, that we have this body. After years of practice of Krishna consciousness, still it is difficult. The modes of nature are so powerfully working. Lust is so deeply rooted in the senses, in the mind, and in the intelligence. How to clear out this lust? Very difficult process. But it's described by surrendering that lust unto Krishna, by engaging one's passion in the service of Krishna. Krishna will clear it out. Krishna is able to burn away all lusty thoughts and lusty desires. But we have to take the shelter. We have to hear. How do you take Krishna? By hearing Krishna. You take him by hearing his holy name, by hearing the instructions about him. And when one is heard nicely, he's liberated. Janma karma chanai divyam yovam eti tatataha. Tyakta deham puna janma naiti mam. You're liberated. When you can remember Krishna's glories, you're in a liberated condition. And such a liberated soul can preach fearlessly. Then he can do kirtan. Unless you've heard sufficiently, the kirtan will not have the proper effect. You'll not be able to go on with your kirtan. Hearing, then kirtan. And unless you've come to this platform, your kirtan will not be strong. Therefore, Prabhupada's kirtan was so successful. Completely liberated personality performing kirtan immediately drew so many people. So this should be the method. Kali Yuga will not be able to hold its own. Just like in our temple, where is Kali Yuga? You find Kali Yuga here? Where is any symptom of Kali Yuga in our temple? It is completely absent. And just as we've worked hard to create that completely pure atmosphere, you have to work hard to create that atmosphere completely pure within your heart. Then you become a moving temple. Tirtha Kurvanti. Moving everywhere. Pure. The pure devotee, he's just like a place of pilgrimage. Tirtha. In this day and age, no one comes to the Tirthas. How many people are coming here? No one is coming here. Therefore, we have to become Tirthas and take Krishna, Paramatma, existing within the heart, out to everyone. We have to give Krishna in the form of the holy name, transcendental instructions, these books, prasadam. Then people will be able to appreciate Krishna consciousness. Krishna is everywhere. He is the super soul of everyone. That Krishna is situated in everyone. That Krishna has to be seen by us all. And the method for seeing Krishna is when one adopts the Sankirtan spirit. When you take on the spirit of preaching, Krishna will manifest himself in everyone's heart to you. You will not be bewildered by their material forms. But when you're sitting, trying to remain safe, you'll only see this body. You'll only feel your body and see other people's body, and you'll only identify on the basis of the body and think how to enjoy your body and their body. But when you go on the basis of preaching, yes, never mind, let me risk everything, then Krishna immediately manifests himself everywhere to you. Yeyam tamam prabhadyante tams the daiva bhajami aham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. If you surrender unto this order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that by his order you become guru and you go everywhere and deliver Krishna consciousness to everyone, then Krishna will manifest himself to you. Just like Vidura, he took the difficult situation which faced him as a blessing, and he left home and he went to all the temples to see Krishna. So we should take this curse which Prabhupada said has been given by the fathers and mothers of all the devotees, cursing us, then we should move from place to place. Prabhupada says, I have to move because they cursed me, all of the fathers and mothers. They're cursing us. All of the material attached people in the world are cursing us. Stay away from here. Stay away from this airport. Stay away from this shopping center. Stay away from my son or daughter. Everyone is giving us that curse. Therefore, we take that curse as a blessing, and we go everywhere to see Krishna. We don't only see Krishna in the temple. That is neophyte stage, that you can only see God situated in the temple. You have to learn to see God situated everywhere. And the method for getting that vision is given by Krishna. Krishna will give you that vision if you want it from him, if you ask him for it. Vidyavinaya sampani brahmani gavi hastine suni chayeva sapakicha pandita samadarshina. That pundit or sage or saintly intelligent wise man, he can see with equal vision Krishna everywhere. Krishna vision. Krishna vision means speaking Krishna's words. When you speak Krishna's words, you'll immediately see Krishna. When you distribute Krishna's books, Krishna knowledge in the form of these books, Krishna will manifest himself. And others will see Krishna also. The living entity that is suffering, he will be able to wake up when he hears the Krishna vibration. Everyone is suffering like that. The soul, the jiva, is suffering because he's turned away from Krishna. When you very forcefully vibrate transcendental knowledge by the form or shape of giving these books, by the shape of giving prasadam or giving the holy name or speaking about Krishna, if that soul is a little conscious, that spark could become built up. Then Krishna will manifest himself for that person. He'll see Krishna in you, and he'll take to Krishna consciousness. We should not keep Krishna selfishly locked up in this temple. We have to give ourselves, the recipient of Krishna's mercy, very freely to others. That is compassion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not keep this movement selfishly locked up. Srila Prabhupada did not keep this movement selfishly locked up in India. He went and freely distributed it. The more you distribute these fruits of love of God, the more you'll taste them and relish them. The more you speak of Krishna, the more you'll realize Krishna. The more you preach on behalf of Krishna,
the more Krishna will empower you to see how to preach successfully, to see who to approach properly, and how to approach them properly. All this can be done by the grace of Krishna. Just like it says, the demigods are empowered by the Lord to award a benediction. So if the demigods are empowered, what to speak of the preacher? How empowered he must be, because he's more dear to Krishna than the demigods. Krishna says, my dear Uddhava, you should know it, that more dear to me than even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is my devotee, my pure devotee. Most dear to Krishna. And what is the symptom of a pure devotee of the Lord? He's always engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. That is the greatest symptom. He's merciful. What is the greatest mercy? To give Krishna kindness to others. Tatikshasa karunika siddhidam sarvadehinam. Karuna, an ocean of mercy. The greatest mercy is to distribute this love of God. He is merciful who can relieve someone from the ignorance of having to take repeated cycle of birth and death. That is mercy, not some hospital simply for overcoming a temporary disease, or some clothing simply to keep one warm against the cold, but how to become free from this material body once and for all. That kind of knowledge is the greatest mercy to distribute. So a preacher or a devotee is means a preacher, and a preacher gets the full mercy and empowerment of Krishna. But we have to take on that merciful attitude. Then we will get the recognition of God. And when Krishna recognizes you, then your path back to Godhead is assured. Don't sit in the temple all day thinking, let me see if I can see God. You will not see God like that. You have to work in such a way that God will come and see you. Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada said, used to stress this point. Don't try and see God. You act in such a way that God will see you. You cannot force God to come by that type of vision. Bhaktya mama mijanati yavanyas chasmi tatataha. Krishna says, tesham satadi yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhaya. For one who surrenders unto me with full love and devotion, I will give them the knowledge. They don't have to come and get it. I'll give it to them. And what is the greatest type of love and devotion and surrender is to carry out the order of the spiritual master. That is the meaning of love and surrender. And what is Prabhupada's order? You increase this sankirtan. You distribute more books and make more devotees. More and more. Go on increasing again and again, Prabhupada said. All of these, Prabhupada said, you can even close the temple for the purposes of pushing forward sankirtan and book distribution. There's nothing more, no priority greater than this. There is enough businesses in the world. We don't need any more businesses. There's enough of everything else, but there's a great lack of Krishna consciousness. But we should not in any way divert our attention. We should focus our attention full force on this Sankirtan movement. Then automatically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will crown all of our efforts with so much success. Our spiritual master will be pleased with us, and there's no question we'll ever feel separation from Prabhupada and Krishna. From one who serves his spiritual master's instructions, he's never lost such a person. The spiritual master is immediately remembered when one takes up his instruction. And when one doesn't follow his instruction, he can go on reading day and night and he won't get anywhere. You can go on reading, go on doing anything, but if you avoid the orders of your guru, there's no way that you can make advancement whatsoever. And Prabhupada has ordered it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered it. By my order, you go everywhere and preach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on a tour of South India. He met this Brahmin. He said, let me come with you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you stay in your house all your life. But that's not all he said. He didn't just say stay in your household alive. He said you stay in your household alive and you preach to everyone you meet. Then he quoted this verse, by my order, wherever you go, whoever you meet, you simply. That's the connection. This is when he preached this verse. He didn't just say keep your position. He said you can keep your position and preach within that position. So we are very fortunate, all brahmacharis and sannyasis. We don't have to stick to one place. We're not held down by these shackles of family life to one little spot. We can go anywhere in the world and preach. So we should not feel too much attached to the comforts of chandeliers and nice walls and nice pillars and all of this type of opulence. This is for Krishna. This is for attracting the karmis, the completely fallen souls. And this is for the pleasure of Krishna. But we are more attracted by the opportunity for preaching. And where there's no preaching, then there's no attraction, no matter how many chandeliers you may put in the room. And if people are not coming to this temple, then we better go out and find them. Prabhupada said that he wrote me in a letter, I am very glad to see that you have understood this very important principle of taking the temple to the people. Because in the Kali Yuga, people are not going to come. We have to go to them. To every single person here, it doesn't matter what your situation is, there's no reason why you cannot go out for 1 or 2 hours a day and preach. Some of us may preach for 8 or 10 hours, and others may work here to facilitate that preaching. But everyone can go out 1 or 2 hours. There was a period a few years ago when Prabhupada wanted every single person, he said, should go out at least 1 hour a day and do some book distribution. And you'll become a much better pujari, a much better cook. You'll understand why the puja is going on, why the cooking is going on. You'll understand what the meaning of this movement is. Prabhupada has picked out that picture of himself on the masthead with himself preaching of Back to Godhead, that cover. He's preaching. That is the essence of what Sankirtan is. That is the meaning of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hands. This is not japa. This is Sankirtan. Congregational. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worship in that form as a preacher. This is the essence of how to worship God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God coming 500 years ago to show us how to worship Krishna. And he demonstrated it by chanting and dancing, by going on Sankirtan. So it doesn't matter what your position is. You may be a builder, you may be a plumber, you may be a pujari, it doesn't matter. You should also be a book distributor and a kirtan man. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And this is the common platform. Prabhupada was asked once, if we're all doing so many different activities, Srila Prabhupada, then sometimes there's misunderstanding or there's lack of harmony. So how can we all feel as one family? Prabhupada said, you should find out one activity that you can all engage in. And he said, and that activity is Sankirtan. So everyone can engage, and this will be the common platform of understanding for all of us, the common denominator. So, if we all take this up, then the personality of Kali will get a real fight for his money. So he is very happy now. He thinks that he is winning. But that is because he has underestimated the potency of this great movement of Krishna consciousness. Now, we are all the products of the most potent father to ever appear. You see? And now, we should live up to our father's hopes for us. Prabhupada said that I will be happy if this movement can go down in the history as having saved the world. So let us reverse the trend of Kali Yuga. It is possible. One person, one pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, did so much in only 10 years. Now if we can all become pure devotees, thousands of pure devotees, just imagine what will happen to this world. There's no reason why Krishna consciousness cannot spread and take over this world. The only reason it won't is our unwillingness to execute the order of Sri Guru and Gauranga. Otherwise, if that is our only ambition, there is no chance that this world will not be delivered. There is no reason why Prabhupada has not lied. He has not lied. He said, yes, it is possible. But that depends upon us. That possibility is up to us. How much we're willing to sacrifice for spreading Krishna consciousness. Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.